Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Are you happy? Amen. Now, you know, Jesus told Peter that follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Praise the Lord. He says, follow me and I will make you. Somebody say, follow me and I will make you. You stop there. Praise the Lord. Now, you can take out the fishers of men because not everybody is going to be a fisher of men. But everybody who follows is being made into something. Amen? Now, the trouble is that so many people don't understand, first of all, what it means to follow. The real meaning of the word follow. Because if you really follow somebody, you are being made into something. And if you want to know what that person is making you into, look at him or her. That's exactly what they are making you into. Amen? And the art of following is not really understood in the church. Because most people come to the church and they have not come to follow. They have come to... And we've been here before where the man of God is preaching and you're busy giving, you know. Say, I don't agree with that one. I have a scripture which says something different. You're not following. So you're being made into nothing. Amen? You're being made into nothing. Because there is an art of following. Following is an art where you just choose you're going to be. You're just going to follow. Because when you follow somebody, you follow them blindly. Amen? They don't give you the game plan. Jesus did not tell Peter that, you see, we are going to move for 3 years. Then afterwards, I will die, rain raised from the dead. Then you get the Holy Spirit. Then now you start healing the sick. And you become, no. He doesn't have the whole game plan. He just says, follow me. So now he wakes up in the morning, you also wake up. He walks somewhere, you also go. But you know that he's making you something. Praise the Lord. Now the thing is, of course, the people in church who do not know how to follow, follow other things. Because we all follow. Let me tell you, we are all followers of something. When I realize that somebody's heart is not so much in spiritual things and the things of God, I try to find out who are they following. And it is always somebody that they are following. So I try to find out who is that person that they are following. Who is the person who, when they speak, they are already 90% of, you know, believing. I remember a friend of mine, I told him a story when I was working in the media. So I told him there is this story. This is somebody who listens to CBS from morning up to evening. So I had to force him to get headphones because he was also forcing me to listen to what? CBS. Now, one day I told him something, some story which had been told and so on. It sounded a bit outlandish. Then he said, it's just such a truth. Then I told him, Abe Mchivi Yachingambi said, Abba Yachingambi, then Chituf. Now, you see that he's a follower, you see. Now, once he knows it came from somebody whom he has, you know, who he holds in high esteem, then he will believe. Now, let it come from somebody else. Then it is there to be contested. Now, the trouble, of course, is that even in the church, there are people who come and they are here to contest. Everything is subject to. Yeah, I think I agree with this part, the other one I don't agree with. You're not a follower. And you're being made into nothing. Amen? Yeah, and usually there's somebody whom we can find out. By 30 minutes talk with you, I would find out whom you follow. And then I will know what you're going to be at some stage in the future. It's just that simple. And it's a law. Follow me and I will make you. Okay? Follow me and I will make you. So now, when you know that, you have to be extremely careful about whom you follow. And now the thing is, sometimes these things come in a very subtle way. Now that guy did not even understand what you're saying. That my story sounded unbelievable until I told him that had been told to me by somebody who works at CBS. Then said, hey, then Chituf. I looked at the guy, he said, but how much faith? Anyway, so the thing is, then he said, follow me and I will make you man. Now that is a very, very powerful, powerful, powerful thing. You meet somebody and you decide to follow them. Make an active decision to follow that person. And just that decision, you don't even have to do much more than that. Automatically, you are being made into something that that person has without a lot of input from yourself. Amen? And now, of course, there are so many different levels of following. And this is where now we have problems. I remember some time ago, the Lord told me that I was just meditating on some things. Then he revealed to me that people make decisions from three different parts of I probably spoke it sometime. Three different parts of them as individuals. People make decisions based on logic. People make decisions based on emotion. And people make decisions based on spirit. Now, these three compartments don't crisscross. You understand? They don't. And if you don't understand that, you'll waste a lot of your time. I'll give you an example. If you have a sister and she decided to fall in love with a man whom you know is a crook and is going to waste her life, but she has decided she loves him, then now you sit with her and start giving her reasons. You're wasting your time. The decision was not made from the logical part and it cannot be overthrown from the logical part. You see, eh? What you're doing is you're trying to give logical reasons why she shouldn't. But the logic, it's not that she's not seeing them. But the decision was made from another compartment. So your logic cannot overthrow what was made in the emotion. So as long as she said, if it makes me feel, what? Now you can talk all the logic there is in the world. You can even quote philosophers and what, you're wasting your time. That decision was made in a completely different compartment of her life. Praise the Lord. Now the logical compartment is the least used, although it's the most fronted. Very few people make decisions which are logical. Very, very few. Very few. I would think like about 3% of our decisions are based on logic. The rest are, almost all of them are based on emotion. I was seeing even, so long time ago, I was reading a book of marketing. And this person said that, when you're marketing a product, people buy the person, they don't buy the product. They cannot buy the product unless they buy the person. So they said 70% of the times, they buy the person. So if you go to market a product to somebody who has the decision to decide whether to buy your product, if you go and the person likes you, you've already scored 70%, you're just left with a little more to get the business. Now, if the person just does not like you, you will talk, you will give them all the reasons why their company needs this thing you're producing. They will not take it because they don't like you. But now, if you try to ask them, they will say, no. They will try to give a logical reason why they did not take your thing. But there is no logic. He just does not like you. You see, eh? Now, somebody, you walk into an office, somebody looks at you, doesn't like you. Then now everything you say thereafter, you are in serious trouble because he has made a decision from the emotional side that you're not going to say anything good. Now then for you come with your logic. Then you start explaining and he's looking at you and he's bored. The decision was made there for you are trying to overthrow it here. And you cannot overthrow it here. Amen? Now if you are to look carefully at your life, there are very, very few decisions which you make logically. Very, very few. You either like somebody, you don't like them, you like a certain team, you don't like it. Even the people you follow, you choose to follow. That's, you know, usually the thing. But now when we come into church, there are people who connect spiritually. Now that's the highest level of connection. Now when people connect spiritually, They don't have to do anything else. They will immediately become. They will be made. You see? They don't even have to be taught as in lessons. Now, this is how you do this and this. No. Once the commission is made at a spiritual level, it has impact on somebody's life automatically. Amen? Now, I'll tell you this, that there was a time when I met, for instance, Prophet Elvis. And at the first but at some stage I made a spiritual connection. Now, after that, everything just started happening in my life. Everything. I can't even say that sometimes I knew exactly what was happening, but it happened. Because it was made at that decision. I didn't make the decision because I like him. Of course I do, but it was deeper than that. You see, where you look and say that I've been looking for God. Now I found somebody who can teach me about God. I finally found somebody who talks about God and he knows what he's talking about. You understand? And then you make a spiritual connection. Now, very few people do that. Most people are emotional, even in following powerful men of God. Most people, emotional. How do you know it's emotional? Number one, they can be offended. Amen? They can be offended. There are people here who I am just one word away from them being offended and they never come back. You see, I just say one word and they are angry and they go and they say, are you fake? Amen? Now, that's how you know somebody whose connection is emotional, not spiritual. Now, when a connection is spiritual, there is nothing that person can do to offend you. Even if he slaps you, you'll be there. That's what Job said in Job 13:15. When Job loved God and he knew God and he didn't understand why I've not done anything wrong. Why are all these things happening to me? And now imagine the time, Old Testament, nobody knew about the devil. So as far as he was concerned, it was God who was doing all these things. Eh? But look what he says. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Even so, I will defend my own. Like, even though he slays me, I'm here. I'm going to trust him. I don't know why he's making me suffer. I've not done anything wrong. But I trust him, you see. Now, that is somebody who had made a connection at a higher level than. Because that's what the wife was telling me. Just curse God and die. Now, because, for them at that level, you try to find out why is God doing this to me. And then you just get angry. But Job refused. He could not get angry because he knew God and he had connected with him at a certain level. And even God knew that. That's why he challenged the devil to go and say, you try and see. Because he knew that there was a connection at a higher level than emotional or logical. There was a spiritual connection in which Job understood certain things. So even if all things never made sense, he said, no, I still trust God. I know him. And then he says, my Redeemer lives and I will stand before him one day. Now that is somebody who is so convinced, that there's nothing that is going to shake him. Praise the Lord. Now, if you go to, offense is a very good way of separating people who are what? The people who disturb us in church are emotional connectors. Amen? Of course, you can start in the emotion and go into the spiritual. Usually it starts like that almost all the time. It doesn't have to end emotionally. Maybe you might even start logically. Okay? Because there are people who started logically and they ended up spiritually. Although logical is at the bottom of it all. But you say, but how come this is like this? How come this is like this? No. Let me go and try this thing out. And then they make a decision at a logical level. And then at some time they allow themselves to get drawn inside. And then from the logical, it becomes emotional. And then from emotional, it becomes spiritual. And now when they go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, something amazing happened. Jesus fed 5,000. I don't know. Jesus fed 5,000. After this thing, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. A great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. Then Jesus went up on the mountain and there he sat with his disciples. Okay? First of all, go after he had fed the 5,000. I don't want us to read all this. Okay. Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Praise the Lord. This is truly the what? Had they connected spiritually? Let's find out. Because, I mean, they saw the sign, something powerful, feeding 5,000, and said, "This is the prophet who is to come into the world." So they make a connection somehow. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Okay? Now, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. First of all, go past this miracle of someone else. First go to 25. Now, and when they had found him, they came looking for him across the sea of Tiberias. And says, when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Now, for him, he knows. Now, and they said, "This is the prophet who is to come into the world." And now that sounds powerful. Big revelation. No, but just based on a full stomach. They were hungry and now they had eaten and they were satisfied. So the revelation was stomach deep. Jesus answered them and said, but because you ate loaves and were filled. Go to the next verse. Then he says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seed on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" In other words, what shall we do that we can also make bread and get satisfied all the time? Now, this is all about food, you see. Eh? Now, he says, "Not labor for the food which perishes, labor for the other food." Then he says, tell us, how can we do that? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? You might think they want works of God like making lame people walk. No, they are not interested in that. Go ahead. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Now, he puts it there. The work of God, just believe in me. Okay? But that's not what they're interested in. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent me." Therefore, they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe?" In others, can you just make us some more food so that we believe properly? What work will you do? Show us. You know, like they are trying to challenge, to show us that you can, you know. What work will you do? Our fathers, now you see where their mind is. That our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So also you now to Lageko, show us what you have, show us what you've got. Okay? Go ahead. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." Now he has gone into a very interesting area where he's going to offend all of them, and they run away. And sometimes we do that just to offend people so that they go. Because emotional connectors, like they are very heavy on you. Because they don't... So sometimes you have to offend people so that you remain with what? With the real ones. Reminds me of a joke of a man who entered a church, you know, with a cowboy hat. And then he entered and cocked his gun and told the people that if you are not ready to take a bullet for Jesus, leave the church. So everybody walked out except 3 people. So when they had all walked out, the man took off his hat, put it down, put down his gun, then pulled out a bag and pulled the Bible and told the Reverend, "Reverend, go ahead, I've gotten rid of all the hypocrites." So Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I said to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." You see, now for them, they're on a different tangent. For him, he's taking them in another tangent. He wants to offend them properly. And now you see, offense is a very powerful thing because it actually separates people who are serious and those who are not. Then they said to the Lord, give us this bread always. Imagine, no wonder they wanted to go and make him king. Because imagine a king who ensures that you will never be hungry. So they say, we are going to take you by force to make you king. Then he has to run away from them. Okay, go ahead. So give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Go ahead. All that the Father gives me, I will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise them up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may also have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then complained about him. Now you see, they wanted to make him king a few minutes ago, but now they are saying, this guy Amanyira. What is he talking about? And he knew what he was doing. He was trying to disconnect the emotional connectors. To just offend them so that they go away. Because they waste time. They come and ask you questions and what. But everything they are thinking is shallow. Then the Jews complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Okay? And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph? But a few minutes ago you wanted to make him king. Now you are Kuzarawa. Is this not Jesus the son of Joseph whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that everyone who has seen the Father, except he who came, who is from God, he has seen the Father. Okay? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Now he's beginning the offense, and I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. Okay? This is the bread which comes from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Now you see he's saying this on purpose, just to mess them up. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Okay? Now, then Jesus said to them, most assured I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. Now you can see it's just deliberately going deeper and deeper to annoy them so that they would get lost. You see? And you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This guy. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. You see now, okay, go ahead. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Now you have to ask yourself, did Jesus have to bring out this tough teaching at this time? The answer is yes, because whole multitudes are following you because they ate. And you know they are emotional, they're just there because they ate and are satisfied. So you say, let me sort them out properly, and then we shall see who is who among them. As the living Father said to me, I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now that's the last place you want to say that. You go to a synagogue of Jews and start telling them to eat your flesh and drink your blood. Like that is really. Therefore many of his disciples, emotional connectors, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Okay? Now, these were his disciples. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? In other words, Zimbongere. In other words, Kasukari Keiko. Because he just wants to offend them and they get lost. What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him but by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Praise the Lord. They were his what? Disciples. But they were emotional connectors. Or maybe even what? Stomach connectors. And he knew it. And he knew that that doesn't take anybody anywhere. Like you really are walking. It's actually very dangerous. It's extremely dangerous to walk with somebody of that level. And all you are seeing is food. Amen? So actually he did them a favor by just sending them out. You go away. Because it's going to destroy you. Because remember, everything that you're exposed to, every deep thing that you're exposed to, and you do not take it on, it hardens your heart. You know that. You know that? So every time something powerful, God does something powerful, and you remain indifferent, your heart becomes harder and harder. And it becomes difficult for you to actually come and get real things. So he did them a big favor and said, let me offend you properly and you get lost. So that, and maybe at some stage you'll come when you're in a better position to understand what is going on. So he went ahead and offended them. Now, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Go to the next verse. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Now there is somebody who had connected spiritually. He does not understand what Jesus is saying any more than all the others. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. He does not understand, but he just trusts. You see, eh? You don't have to understand, but you just know that if Jesus has said it, that is it. I don't know what he's talking about. Eat his flesh and drink his blood. We are not cannibals, but it's okay. If he has said it, it's okay. Amen? Now, that is somebody who connected spiritually. And he cannot be offended by anything. There is nothing that can offend him coming from the person to whom he connected. Now, somebody like that will automatically become, follow me and I will make you. Like once the connection is made at that spiritual level, you automatically become something. Something that you connected to. Now, Peter says, that whom shall we go? You are the one who has the words of eternal life. Then, and now you see even later on, when Peter suffered because he followed Jesus into the courtyard and he saw what they were doing to Jesus and so on and lashing and what. And his emotions were stirred up in fear. He cannot disconnect, you see. Even Jesus told him that when you come back, feed my sheep. Because he knows that you can't go. Once you connected spiritually, you can't go. The emotion might cause you to, in a brief moment, to deny him. I don't know him and what, but something inside you is there and it cannot go anywhere. You understand? Because the decision you made to connect with him was spiritual. So even if you might deny him momentarily because you're scared and there is some fear, which is emotional, emotional can never topple spiritual. Praise the Lord. It can never what? It cannot. So Jesus was so sure that when you come back, feed my sheep. Satan asked him, but it's okay when you come back because I know you, there is nowhere you are going. You connected to this thing, you have nowhere else to go. And now that is it. That's where we have to aspire to be. Now the scripture says, you know, there are certain things which the scripture says, scriptures which people do not. Now like it says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Faith is a connector, is a spiritual connector. And it is very powerful because until you can believe something you don't see, you are not connected. Amen? You have to believe, you have to be in a position to believe something that you don't see, there is no evidence of it, there is nothing, but you just believe it based on the word of God. The word of God says this, therefore I believe it. And you walk like that. And it is a very big requirement for walking with God. And it's one of the biggest things on which so many people stumble. Because the modern Christianity believe what they see. Eh? Amen? Without faith, it is impossible. Now you see in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. He says, now this is, you know this, so I won't read it. This is the time when he cast the fig tree. You remember that? He cast the fig tree. And the scripture says in Matthew 17, it says it died immediately. But it took one day before the evidence of it dying came to pass. So the next day when they were passing, Peter says, look, the fig tree which you cast has dried up. But the scripture says it dried up the minute he cast it. But the evidence of it drying up came later. Amen? Now here, when they told him that, he told them, have faith in God. Then he gave them those two scriptures. But this is the one I want to read. Because if you learn how to basically just appropriate this, starting with small, then you'll enter into a level of connection, which is, it says, therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray. Go to the King James. I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire. You see, eh? Anything that you desire. This is a blank check. When you pray, he says, believe that you receive it and you shall have them. He does not say, wait to have them and then you believe. Now that is the problem. You have to first believe that I have it and believe that you have it and believe that you have it. And he says, you shall have them. Now the shall can mean in the next 2 hours. It can mean in the next one day. It can mean in the next 1 week. It can mean in the next 1 year. Amen? But it says, just believe that you have it and you shall what? And you shall believe that you receive it. Not when you receive it. Believe that you receive it when you pray for it. Just like the fig tree dried, it dried on the day, on the minute Jesus cast it. But the evidence of the drying took a whole day. Now that's what he's saying. First believe and then receive. Amen? First do what? And then what? Now, the shall, you have no, control on how long shall take. Eh? Now that's the thing. It is, you have no control, but it's a very powerful thing. You see, eh? Because if you start on, if you start with small things like a house, amen? Then you go and see a house and say, I want this house. And then there is this scripture. And Jesus gave a blank check, whatsoever things you desire. Amen? There is no conditions, whatsoever things you want, you desire. Say, I desire this house. Then pray for it. Now just start thanking God for the house. Just start thanking God. God, I thank you for this house. What? Then, you know, you thank God for it. Then you thank God for it. And you receive it. Now, the people who have had... I remember sometime I was hearing Kenneth Hagin saying that in 29 years, he doesn't remember ever praying for anything and he doesn't get it instantly. 29 years. I said, man, why do we have to wait? Until I heard that also him one day, there is a house he wanted. So he went and... surveyed the house and, you know, looked at it and prayed for it and started believing God and thanking God for it. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Then finally, the owner of the house says he wants to sell. And the other people who are interested in buying, the owner of the house says, I don't know why, but I just feel I want to give it to the other preacher. I think it belongs to him and what. So even had very not so good terms, but the guy just said, no, I want to give you this house. I believe it's your house. So he got it. Now, when you've done that and it has taken a while, the next time it's going to take a shorter time. These things are, you grow it inside you. Amen? The problem is people are in a hurry. You're in a hurry as if you're going to die tomorrow. You're not. Amen? Because if you don't actually do this, tomorrow will come and steal. You will not have the house. You say, may I wait 3 years? Man, I have no time for that. 3 years will come and you're still in your kazigo. Yet if you had actually believed, maybe you'd be in the house. Amen? Or maybe you'd be left with 1 year. Praise the Lord. You see, when people start thinking that they're in a hurry to get things, spiritual things don't work like that. Amen? Spiritual things do not work like that. Do not work like that. People get them instantly because they have been practicing. Okay? Even now, like sowing. There are people who will sow in the morning and they reap in the afternoon. Almost instantly. Now for you, you'll sow and you'll wait. But that's a rule, a spiritual law. When you've practiced the principle of sowing long enough, the time becomes shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter until you almost start getting it instantly. All the time. So I remember this guy who said that there was this missionary who came and so the guy would go and preach the gospel somewhere, I think in Africa. You know those Americans, when they want to feel good, they come and preach the gospel in Africa. But we have more gospel than them. So, anyway, I don't know why I said that, but maybe it's to offend some people. Emotional connectors, what do they go? Anyway, so the guy said he went and gave this guy a seed. And I mean, I told him that, you know what, you're going to preach the gospel. And what. And he said he waited 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. He was not receiving any harvest. And he said, what is wrong? So he went and told the guy that, excuse me, sir, where are you tithes? The guy said, for us in the field, we need the money. We don't tithe what? He said, no wonder. You'll never get a single coin of mine. He said, there is nothing I can do. I will never give you any single coin of mine. You see, there are some people who think that the laws of God are for their benefit. Eh? And for them, they are not supposed to what? To practice. And those are mostly the preachers. They preach giving. But you ask them the last time they gave. I remember there was a time some guy who came and... But man, there was a time when there were people who were experts at, you know, pastors would call them to get money out of people. Like Jangoba Jemu, you what? And these guys were experts, man. Very good orators. I encountered some of them. Very, very good orators. By the way, they can stir you up and you end up giving. So this guy comes to the church where I was. But by that time, I knew better. So the guy comes and now starts preaching on what? And preached about giving your Isaac over what? Now, if I say it, it's not going to be spectacular because I'm not as good an orator as him. But when the guy spoke it, you would just feel like you want to even sell yourself and what? And the guy spoke and what? Now, then he told everybody that now those who want to give, stand up and come on the pulpit. Then people came crying. I said, this guy here, there is no way I'm giving a coin. Now, I was known to be at some sort of means in the church. So people expected me to also come and give. I sat down in front seat, like where Kenna is there, and looked at them. So people were in front crying because I knew he was a charlatan. I knew he was a mufere. I looked at him and I could swear this man has never even given a pair of shoes. But he's telling you to give your Isaac. So I sat down and looked. Even the pastor went and you. So I looked on. I said, now everyone looked at me. Like, what's wrong with you? Aren't you coming to give? So I just kept quiet. So now the guy had also a trick. He would tell people, how, what are you going to give? You go in front and say it openly. Now, you know how you make mess people up. Like, that's easy. That is a very easy, you know, ego. So if I start with Anne here, and she says she's giving 1 million, by the time I get to who? To Linda, she'll want to give 1.5. By the time I get to Richard, he'll want to give to you understand? So now you're just playing on people's egos. Because now if I start, now when I reach to Rama, Rama says, what? Anne gave how much? Man, 5 million. And you're just playing on people's what? Playing on people's egos. Now, those things don't yield anything. Anything. Giving has to be by faith. Amen? Has to be by what? Faith. Now, so I saw people giving. Even the pastor gave his car. He did, actually. He had some Prado, this KZ. So he gave it, crying in tears. Man, the following week, the guy came and said that he has come for his things. He almost fought with the pastor. That led him into the anger. What? You know, my Isaacs. like it was. By the way, I've suffered a number of things in these things. I remember there was a pastor who was, when we were young and we used to want to go and preach and have mututi. I was actually discussing him with some guy some time ago. We used to have, first we just wanted a katuti to go and preach. You know those things, eh? When you're young. So, and this pastor had a church in Karere. And he did not mind you organizing conferences and what, as long as the offering. Eh? He was a businessman. So he would come in the evening when you're busy preaching, what? You take the offering. The ushers were trained. Eh? I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like that. The guy would go and sit in his office, which was like somewhere there. As soon as you finish giving the offering, eh? I even remember the guy's name. The ushers come and carry the bibles you and take it. So one day on a Friday, I went and I was preaching. So I preached, and I, you know, prayed for the sick man. Fire, you know those days, eh? Fire. Huh? Fiery young man. Eh? Then afterwards, we took an offering. Hmm? Now, me, I wasn't interested in the offering. For me, I just wanted the katuti. After that, I could even walk home. You see, eh? I just wanted a place to preach. And the man was liberal with his pulpit. Because all he wanted was the what? Was the money. And when you organize a conference, he says, organize. He just, eh? So when I finished preaching on a Friday, so I said, when people brought an offering, then I closed my eyes and said, Father, we thank you for this offering. What, you know, I pray that you bless every. When I finished and opened my eyes, the people had, I'm not joking, that genuinely happened. The people had vanished and I had not had anybody taking them. So I thought maybe the Lord had miraculously received that. Eh? Remember, you've been praying that God receive our offering. Right, then maybe God had miraculously received it. Like the ushers were trained. I opened my eyes and the place was empty. So I said, okay. Now the trouble is that on Sunday, because it was a full day's thing, and would be a number of people. So for me, my day was Friday. So on Sunday, there was another guy, a Nigerian guy. Eh? Now for him, he didn't play with Kawewayo. For him, he was not interested just in what? In preaching. Eh? For him, he wanted his dimes. So the guy comes, preaches. They collect the money, usual thing. The ushers take it. I found them outside punching with the pastor. Pow! Pow! Like, I'm telling you, I walked outside the church, but this Nigeria, no jokes. Eh? Eh, you won't give me my money, oh? You won't give me my money, oh? You won't give me my money, oh? The guy said, what, is this your church? You won't give me my money, oh? Next thing I saw a punch. Pia! I said, eh, what is happening here? So, but I took off. Now, because things were tight. Now, the funny thing is, the pastor went and reported us to the church where I used to go. And said, well, I'm not syndicate the people here. They came and fought for money. Me, I didn't fight for money. But they took me off the ministers. I was one of the ministers. They said, you people ashamed us. You went and fought for money. And now me, I didn't fight for any money. But I suffered. But the interesting thing is, that Nigerian guy, the other day I met him. Eh, at Zoe. He's no longer a Nigerian. He's a Ugandan now called Mugisha. And he's no longer a preacher. He's now a lawyer. Seriously. So he gave me his card. He didn't remember those days. So he saw me and remembered me as a sports person. Eh? So he said, you know what? Eh? Me, I'm asking, no, what? I said, ah, what? So he talked to the other, and he gave me his card. So I know I remember his name properly from way back. I look at the card, Mugisha. I said, okay. You go give me my. You go. We go fight, oh. Man, we've seen things in this ministry. By the way, we've seen things in this ministry. So, Now, when I'm telling you the truth, that's why when you find somebody who has connected to something, let's say even financial, follow them. Because if you try any other means, you become a mufiri. Amen? You become what? That's why I tell you that there's nobody here who can say that I come and say, give me money, things are bad at home. No. Because I learned how to trust God. Amen? But you can learn it by just following. If you are not an emotion. But if you are somebody who is going to be easily offended, then you are going nowhere. You're not a follower. You're just, you're there, you know, eh? Like, it's not deep enough to take you anywhere. Now, when you actually, and let me tell you, I've been in places where you see somebody and you look at them and you see your life is going, increasing, improving, and theirs isn't. And there is a reason. God is no respecter of persons. Amen? God is no respecter of persons. When you see somebody growing, it is because there is something they learned and they appropriated it. There is some secret they picked and they put it in practice and it transformed their life. Like it, and it is for everybody. There is nobody who is, you know. So somebody, you find people whom you are with so many years, what? And now, I told you of my friend who, when we were in that, he actually was one of the people in that conference. But also him, he didn't fight for money. We couldn't, you see, it was the Nigerian who, along the way, I moved and so on, and he was a powerful man of God and so on. So I moved along the way and I discovered the secret of following. Of just following. Amen? Of doing what? Following. Following means you don't know the plan. You don't know what is next. You just follow. In the world, it looks like a stupid thing, but it is so powerful. Okay? In the spirit that Jesus, and now that's a principle you should know. Follow me and I will make you. Everybody you choose to follow, you are being made into something. So when I learned the principle of following, I decided I'm going to follow. Amen? But this guy never really learned it because he was too talented. He was good. He could sing very well. He could... imagine such a good minister. Such a powerful person. And I used to admire him. And he's the one who led me to the Lord in 1992. So I had like all this reverence for him. So I met him. So I would see him and I was seeing he really stagnated. So he came here and told me he's having a wedding and he's going to marry and he's somehow like he expected me to play a big role in his wedding, which I did. At least a financial role and all that. Because I still had that, you know, respect for him as somebody who led me to the Lord. But then, like, up to now I see him, almost 30 years, no change. No change. I'm telling you, discover the principle of following. Amen? Discover the principle. No change. That's the guy whom I told you who came to the Watchman conference there in Lugogo. So I told him, we have a conference, what? I just told him, like, because he came to my office, we have a conference on Saturday and what? Said I'll pass by. So he came. And he saw the people there and what? And he could not believe that me Kabuleta, had gathered all those people. Man, you discover the power of following. Amen? Because if we were to put us on a mizan between me and him, who would be more likely to do it? It would be him. Amen? Because for him, he could sing. He could, me, I can't even sing to save my mother's life. The guy could worship. Like, I just admired him. So, but me, I learned how to follow. Amen? And some of you also follow. And you'll be turned into some. It's a very powerful principle, by the way. Like, don't underestimate it. The things which the world despises are very, very powerful. Because you just walk and you don't even know where you're going. That's what it means to be sheep. Sheep don't have a mind of their own. Where the shepherd goes is where they do what? They go. But that's how the Lord designed it. And then you get benefit out of it. And people who are what? The guy looked. So he said, I remember him asking me questions. He asked me when he saw the people. I think there was about 2,000, 2,500 people. Then he asked me, who is the main preacher here? I told him I am. Then he was like, he didn't say it, but he was like, so all these people have come to listen to you, Kabuleta. You, Kabuleta. Because he was seeing me in those years. Eh? But he stayed there. Me, I shifted. Now Kabuleta is a very heavy name in this country. Because I learned how to follow. Amen? I learned how to do what? Eh. Following makes a fisherman have the whole streets lining up for his shadow. You understand? Eh. A fisherman and people are lining up the streets so that your shadow falls on them and they get healed. So that is the what? That's the power of following. Jesus said, follow me. Just follow me. I'm going to make you something. Praise the Lord. And that is the principle today. As we come to a what? To a conclusion. The principle is, if you learn how to follow and really follow, don't reason. I remember somebody called me and told me, which bank do you have an account in? And I told her. Then she said, okay. Then I found she had opened an account in the same bank. Why? Because you have an account there. I don't need any other reason. That is a follower. Amen? That's a what? Hey, and it benefits. It's powerful. Now, this guy, he's in Kenya. By the way, I use him a lot as an example because I see somebody whose life has been wasted. Wasted. So much talent, so much anointing, so much gifting. But a wasted life. Because there is nobody who God did not call to follow. You cannot have people following you when you're not following anybody. Amen? All of us are followers of somebody. So you choose, I'm going to follow. And I'm being made just by following. Like not even working, just following. And you're being made. Remember Jesus said that, you know, you're clean, telling his disciples that you're clean because of the words that I speak to you. Like you just be there and listen to his words and you become clean. And you're being transformed from the inside just by listening to him. And following him everywhere, you go now, let's go here, you go. We go next year, let's go. And you're being turned into something totally different just by following. Amen? And now, if you don't understand that, and if you don't understand that you can start from outer court following, emotional following, and get into spiritual following. Praise the Lord. But the spiritual following trumps all the others. That's why when somebody has connected at a spiritual level, like there's something, you cannot mess them up. I remember that honor of 2017 when people were so angry with me. How could you kiss what? Somebody's shoe. I would look at them. Like, and I'm like, how does that? I remember I was on TV someday and I said the only person who should question me is my wife because she's the only other person who has used a beneficiary for my lips. Other than that, I'm the one who decides what I kiss and what I what? Then the TV person looked at me because they were expecting me to get into some sort of what? Some as if they corner you and then you start explaining yourself. Maybe I laughed at them. And they said, but where do you get money? I said, we have money. So I said, now you ask me where I get. They said that you paid 1 million shillings to go there. I said, that was even little. Me, I even paid 2 million. Nemu jawa sent. I said, I sent it to Ina. Sent it to Ina. Like, I was so, and people were angry. I remember some of my friends were very angry and said, you man, do you know how we used to take you seriously and what? Now? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Eh? Like, I wish they knew how much I don't care. How they what? How they take me. But for me, I know how it happened. So, I don't care. Now, the reality is that something happened on that day. Eh? Something happened on that day. And you're going to feed it at some stage in front of there. Eh? First of all, I lost all interest in what anybody has to say or think about me. You understand? None whatsoever. I don't care. I really don't care. That is a very liberating thing. Very liberating thing. Even some people get offended here by some words I use when I'm preaching. Huh? Emotional what? Connectors. If you're a real follower, you will be happy even if I use a fake word. I see people looking at me like this. There are times I say things and I see somebody looking at you like this. And you say, now you think you're going to put me in bondage. This is my pulpit. I will say what I want. What? What I want to say. Praise the Lord. Eh? And those who want to benefit from it will benefit from it. Praise the Lord. Eh? And now that is the thing. Like, the power of just following. Follow. Glory to God. But imagine Jesus. Eh? How he went into a synagogue and blasted the Pharisees. Like Matthew 23. And told them, you are like whitewashed tombs, which outward they look good, and what? You brood of vipers, you what? Like, the first time I read that chapter, I was like, man. Eh? He said, you make other people carry loads which you yourself will not carry. Then you do what? Then what? You brood of vipers. Then he said, how can you survive the damnation of hell? I was like, the Lord was not happy. Like, he really, really took them. Like, I read that book over and over again, and I'm like, wow. In their synagogue. Then even here, I went in their synagogue and told them to eat his flesh. And drink his blood. And you think that I offend? Imagine he was in the synagogue. Eh? He should have said it elsewhere. But he was in their synagogue. Then he tells them, eat my flesh. And drink, because my flesh is what? Food indeed. And my blood is drink indeed. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
That was The Watchman. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at the Watchman Ministry Grounds along Gaba Road near the American Embassy opposite Mukwaya General Hospital. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.